Earth Sky.
Welcome to Earth Sky 22, your science news and music from Austin, Texas. I'm Michael Brennan. This week, a new Earth-sized planet discovered in the star system closest to our own, a new song from Jesse Woods, and how to catch this week's Orionid meteor shower. Here's your scientist soundbite.
Alpha Centauri has just been figuring prominently in the dreams of space visionaries for decades at least. And now we find out that there's a planet of about the same mass as Earth orbiting one of the stars in this system.
That's Deborah Bird. More with her in a few. But first, Chris Comfort and I are going to run through the science news of the week. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, Mike.
So what's going on?
Well, scientists at the University of Missouri have proven that a new form of prostate cancer treatment that uses radioactive gold nanoparticles is safe for use in dogs. A scientist at MU stated, "Dogs develop prostate cancer naturally in a very similar way to humans, so the gold nanoparticle treatment has a great chance to translate well to human patients."
European astronomers announced their discovery of a planet with about the mass of the Earth orbiting a star in the Alpha Centauri system. The Alpha Centauri system is the nearest star system to our own solar system. It's only 4.3 light years away. We'll talk about this amazing discovery with Deborah Bird later in the program.
Scientists from the University of Warwick, in collaboration with spin-out company Molecular Solar, have created an organic solar cell that generates a sufficiently high voltage to recharge a lithium-ion battery directly, without the need to connect multiple individual cells in series. Modules of these high-voltage cells were shown to perform well in different light conditions, including partial shade. This new technology is a significant breakthrough and an important step towards rolling out inexpensive organic photovoltaic cells in low-power portable electronics.
According to a report released this week by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's National Climatic Data Center, September 2012 tied with 2005 as the warmest September ever recorded globally since record-keeping began in 1880.
Felix Baumgartner has successfully jumped from a capsule more than 24 miles, nearly 39 kilometers above Earth's surface. He fell for 4 minutes 19 seconds and reached a maximum speed of 706 miles per hour, or 1,137 kilometers per hour, which, when certified, will make Baumgartner the first man to break the speed of sound in free fall. That's science news of the week. I'm Chris Comfort.
Thanks, Chris. Song of the Week is a brand new one from Jesse Woods. It's off his upcoming full-length album called Get Your Burdens Lifted. This song's called Danger in the Dance Hall.
SOS, I need an angel now. Here so fast, I feel the danger around. We got danger in the dance hall, whiskey in the mind. Sober up like a good boy, just don't have the time, 'cause I'm young and off the reservation. Walk creatures of the moon, 'cause I'm young and life's a vacation. When you're young, when you're young, I'm lost in heaven. Tomorrow, flood you in a flash.
Listening to EarthSky 22. You can find us as EarthSky on Facebook, EarthSky Science on Twitter, and at EarthSky.org. Deborah Bird is here to talk about a new planet discovered in the star system closest to Earth, Alpha Centauri. Welcome, Deborah.
Hey, Mike. Wow, a planet in the Alpha Centauri system. That is so exciting. I mean, Alpha Centauri has just been, you know, figuring prominently in the dreams of space visionaries for, oh gosh, you know, decades at least. And now we find out that there's a planet of about the same mass as Earth orbiting one of the stars in this system.
That's crazy.
I know. So the star that the planet is orbiting is Alpha Centauri B. The Alpha Centauri system is a triple system. So the planet is orbiting Alpha Centauri B. The astronomers who discovered this planet are European astronomers, and they say that it's orbiting close to its star. It's not in its star's habitable zone. And we can talk more about the habitable zone later, because that's a big deal in discovering planets in other solar systems. But it's not in the habitable zone. In fact, it's very, very close to its star. It's taking only a little more than 3 days to orbit its star. So if you think about the Earth, Earth takes 365 days to orbit the Sun. And even the planet Mercury in our own solar system takes 88 days to orbit the Sun. So this planet takes 3 days to orbit its Sun. So you can see that it's very, very close to its star. And, of course, that means it's going to get very hot on its surface.
Okay. And you said this star system is three stars, right?
That's right. The Alpha Centauri system is three stars. And let's talk about that for a second, because it's interesting to think about. The two main stars are called Alpha Centauri A and B. The third star is called Proxima. Proxima is not known for certain to be gravitationally bound to the other two stars, but for all intents and purposes, when we talk about the Alpha Centauri system, people nearly always include Proxima also. So we call it a triple system. Not for sure, but, you know, might as well be.
So, Deborah, what would it look like if you were on this planet and you were looking up?
Well, it would be, for one thing, you would have this gigantic sun in your sky because you're orbiting so close to your sun. Remember that famous scene in Star Wars where Luke Skywalker's looking out and he sees the double sunset? It wouldn't be like that, because the two stars aren't equal distance from this planet.
Okay.
The one star, Alpha Centauri B, is very, very close to the planet. The other star, Alpha Centauri A, is pretty far from the planet, 100 times farther from the planet than Alpha Centauri B. The third star, Proxima, is a really small, dim star and wouldn't figure prominently in the sky of this planet at all.
Can you talk to us about the habitable zone?
Sure. The habitable zone is a big deal in these planet searches. So the habitable zone is the zone around a star where liquid water can exist. Life as we know it depends on liquid water. So Earth, of course, orbits in the habitable zone around the Sun, and that's why we're the water planet. We have these vast liquid oceans. So astronomers have found some other planets that are in the habitable zone of their stars, but this particular planet is not in its star's habitable zone. Liquid water probably could not exist on its surface. And so very unlikely that life as we know it would exist there.
How long would it take to get to this planet?
Well, this is the nearest star, the very nearest star system. And so you would think we could just kind of take a little hop, skip, and jump over there. But in fact, we can't. And so if you think about, you know, what it would take to get to another star with a conventional rocket, let's think about conventional rockets like the space shuttle. If you think of Earth as a grain of sand, the space shuttle gets several hundred kilometers up above the Earth. That's about the width of a hair compared to a grain of sand, compared to 10 kilometers or 6 miles for Alpha Centauri. So you can see that the space shuttle stays very, very close to Earth compared to the distance
to Alpha. So it'll be a long time before we're able to travel to this planet.
Yes, a very long time. Like, we do have a couple of spacecraft that are leaving our solar system now, and that's the Voyager spacecraft, which were launched in 1977. They are, you know, they passed the major planets, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and now they're heading out of the solar system, and they're not heading toward Alpha Centauri. Voyager 1 is not, and Voyager 2 is not heading toward Alpha Centauri. If they would, it would take them tens of thousands of years to get there. So conventional rockets aren't going to do it. Conventional rockets are not starships. What would it take to build a starship? There's lots of different ideas on how you might build a starship. One idea is that you could use matter and antimatter, which when matter and antimatter meet, they annihilate each other and they release a tremendous amount of energy. And could that energy be used to propel a ship through the vast space of our Milky Way galaxy to reach another star? Theoretically, the answer is yes. And there have been small bits of antimatter observed in particle accelerators. But nobody knows how to make enough antimatter, or much less store the antimatter, in order to, you know, build a starship. So antimatter-matter starship is probably out. Another idea that's actually the idea that I love is the idea of a solar sail starship. And this would be a starship that's just powered by the sun, basically. It could also be powered by lasers. There's ideas that you could fire lasers from Earth to power, you know, to go into the vast sails of this starship and power it out into interstellar space and to send it on a journey to the stars. And that's a very cool idea. And they did have a solar sailed satellite that was in orbit a year or so ago. And apparently it worked pretty well, but it was really tiny. We're nowhere near being able to build a vast starship that would, you know, go between here and Alpha Centauri. And even if we were, it wouldn't get there within the space of a generation. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to travel to this planet anytime soon. One of the interesting things about that is that if we were to just put all our resources into building some kind of a starship now, and we took off on this journey toward Alpha Centauri and say it was going to take us, you know, several generations to get there, but, you know, people would be born and die upon this starship, and ultimately our descendants would reach this starship, they might actually, when they get there, be greeted by people from Earth who waited longer and had new technologies and traveled faster and got Whoa. There before them. So,
wow.
Probably not going to go. Not now.
Can we step back a second and talk about how this planet was discovered?
Sure. The planet was discovered with the HARPS instrument, and HARPS stands for High Accuracy Radial Velocity Planet Searcher. So this is an instrument that's especially designed to search for planets. So what happens is that when a distant star, is orbiting with a planet, those two bodies are actually orbiting around a common center of gravity. It's not that the star is just holding still and the planet is orbiting around it. It's that the two actually have a common center of gravity. So what that means is that when we look at that star from Earth, it appears to wobble just a little bit as it and its planet are orbiting around each other, and that wobble is very, very hard to detect. But a radial velocity measurement is the measurement of that little bitty wobble, and that's the technique that they use to discover this planet. They said it was really pushing their technology to the limit, and they said it's the most precise radial velocity measurement that's ever been made.
So they can determine the mass of the planet by the wobble.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And that's how they know that this planet in the Alpha Centauri B system is just a little more massive than Earth.
Okay, one more question. How many planets are there out there beyond our solar system that have been discovered? And how big of a discovery is this?
Well, let's talk first about how many are out there, because there have been some studies recently that there are probably billions and billions of planets out there.
Wow.
Just in our Milky Way galaxy, that in fact most stars probably have planets. So astronomers nowadays do believe that. How many have we actually discovered? We've now, at this point, discovered about 800 planets. So most of those planets are not like the Earth. Most of them are about the mass of Jupiter, or maybe somewhere between the mass of Earth and Jupiter, or maybe more massive than Jupiter. So it makes sense that as we look out into the galaxy, we would see the biggest planets first, mm-hmm. and that's actually what's happened. But there are some other Earth-like planets known, not 4.3 light years away, but there are some other ones known. And, you know, there may be some other planets in the Alpha Centauri B system, and certainly people will be, you know, training their instruments on this system and searching for them.
So this is the closest planet discovered to Earth.
It's the closest planet. This
is a big discovery.
That's right. Besides
in our solar system.
That's right. Besides the planets in our solar system.
Well, thank you, Deborah.
Thank you, Mike.
I wanted to play a song that struck me this week. I was thinking of Felix Baumgartner's epic space jump, him opening the threshold, looking down at Earth from 24 miles up, and taking that plunge. This song is called The Dream by Cowboy and Indian.
I can barely move. I feel like I am sinking. The ground will take me over. That's what I'm thinking. I'll be covered up with vines. You won't know I'm here. I can barely move. I can barely move. I feel like I am falling. I thought I was alone, but I can hear you
You're listening to Earth Sky 22. You can find us as Earth Sky on Facebook, Earth Sky Science on Twitter, and at earthsky.org. Deborah Bird is back to talk about the upcoming Orionid meteor shower.
Hey, Mike. The Orionid meteor shower is peaking on the weekend that this program is released. So the peak of the shower is Sunday morning, October 21st. Now, if you're hearing this program after October 21st, don't worry. There's lots of other meteor showers coming up. But if you are listening to this over the weekend of the 20th, 21st, you might want to go outside on Sunday morning and see if you can catch some meteors.
Okay, cool. So what exactly is a meteor?
Well, a meteor is a little piece of debris that's left behind in an orbit of a comet, and these particular meteors, the Orionid meteors, come from a very famous comet, Comet Halley, which visits Earth every 76 years. So comets, as they move through their orbits, just flake off little bits of ices and dust, and this debris from these comets enters our atmosphere, you know, on a very regular way, on an annual basis, and we see them as meteor showers.
So where's the best place to watch the meteor shower?
Well, as usual with meteor showers, you're going to want to be someplace where it's dark. And the moon this weekend is going to be, or the weekend of the 20th and 21st, is going to be in a pretty good place to observe the shower. So the moon is at first quarter on the 21st. And so what that means is the moon will be setting around midnight or before midnight. And that's good because the hours between midnight and dawn are the hours that are best for watching meteors typically. And so what you need is to just go to a very dark location, maybe a state park is always good, a national park, and plan to camp out overnight. Or you can get up early, early in the morning, if you have, which is what I usually do, if you have a place where you can go where there's a dark sky and watch for meteors in the hours between midnight and dawn on Sunday the 21st. You might also try the 20th and the 22nd. You know, when a meteor shower happens, it actually lasts over a couple of weeks. But there's usually a peak, and the peak is around the 21st. So go out there and give it a shot.
Okay. Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you, Mike.
Earth Sky's Deborah Bird. And that's our show. Thanks for joining us. This week's show was recorded in Earth Sky Studio B in Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Special thanks to our musical contributors. For more on the science or the music you heard, visit earthsky.org. Until next week, be good to one another. I'm Michael Brennan. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
There are too many artists, too much art, and not enough genius, I believe. Science is the art of the next age. There are so many artists, too much heart, and not enough reason, I'm afraid. Silence is the song of the next age. But what we don't know